We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody. Todd McKim, and welcome to another edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Game week. See, the end of this week, they'll actually have some competition on the field. For a long time, we weren't sure if we're going to have games, but we are. And the team has been very busy the last 3+ weeks in what is now called fall camp. A little different than in years past, but ready to go this week. And head coach Justin Wilcox joining us a little bit later on. We'll hear from a sixth-year senior, Zionde Johnson, the gray beard of that defensive line, who's had a terrific camp, looks really good, and has some interesting thoughts about this, his sixth campaign in Berkeley. But, Coach, just talk about the excitement. I mean, anytime you get to game week, the first game of the season, it's always exciting. You sense that buildup and the excitement amongst the team?
Oh, absolutely, and especially with this offseason and the uncertainty surrounding it, just the chance to get to play is, you know, it's exciting every year, but I think everybody appreciates it even a little more this year.
You know, a lot of times the coaches will say, gosh, if I just had 3 or 4 more practices or another week, I mean, you don't have that option this year. You're in it. You had to condense everything. How do you feel about your team's preparedness for this one?
Good. And I, you know, I think that's probably just how coaches have to answer, they feel like, but the guys need to play, and we've had a number of practices to get to this point. It's been a little bit different with the type of practice and the preparation that's needed to get our team prepared physically and then mentally, but they're in a good spot, and we're going to tune it up these last few days and be ready to kick it off on Saturday, knowing that we're going to continue to work to improve after Saturday.
But this year starts with a conference game. It's not, you know, sometimes in the past you would have that first game of the year as a conference game, but usually you got a couple of games where you can either play more guys or test some things. But if one of your goals, and I know it is to win the division and go on and win the conference championship, I mean, it starts right off the get-go. Does that add to the urgency that everybody's had?
Yeah, but I would say there's always urgency. I never felt like the first, the non-conference games, for example, that we didn't feel urgency. I'd never felt that. There's just so few opportunities in football, compared to, I don't want to speak for baseball or basketball, but there's just so few opportunities and all those games mean so much. So I've always felt like those were urgent, and it's no different this year. It is right into Pac-12 play and they all count. But you mentioned, some guys getting opportunities in some of those early games in a traditional season, but we're going to play a lot of guys. I mean, we're going to play a lot of guys and we're going to need everyone. I mean, it truly is going to be one of those years where everybody's going to have a role. If there's something one person can do, whether it's be the L3 on punt return or, the starting safety or whatever, anywhere in between, I think we're finding roles for everybody on the roster just due to the nature of this lead up to this season.
Well, and with the COVID and the Pac-12's protocols and the local health protocols, depth is always important, but this year may be more important than ever to establish that depth, because you never know, it could be the morning of the game where you find out that somebody can't play. And yeah. So guys have to step in right away. Do you feel good about that?
Well, again, one of the reasons that the way we prepared is, everybody was getting reps and for their development, but also so we can be prepared in one of these scenarios. And so we don't know exactly how it'll go. I mean, obviously injuries play into that every year. You're always wanting to build depth because you have injuries. Now there's another threat to losing a player for a game or multiple games. So the depth is critical, and we're going to, we're going to play a lot of guys, as I mentioned before, both sides of the ball and most every position, because we're going to need all those guys to have a successful season.
In your preparation meetings on the field, I mean, do you have all your quarterbacks in the same meeting room at the same time? I mean, if you lose one, you could lose two or three. I mean, how do you divvy up your squad?
The meeting rooms are actually, the meetings are outside and they're done socially distant. So everybody's spaced, and that's part of the reason we're having them outside. You got masks on, and there's kind of protocols. There's do's and don'ts in meetings. It's even more restrictive than, say, going to the grocery store. I mean, that way we can protect them. Now, when they go to practice, their practice is practice, but they've been tested at that point. They've been cleared to practice. So we're really, we try to mitigate the risk in every way possible, as much as possible, until it comes time to practicing, because you got to prepare to play. I mean, that's only fair to the players. So we've done our best in that regard. So guys will be prepared if needed. And as you know, it's 75 at once, and then there's another 30 to 35 guys that are practicing at a different time. So that's one of the unique parts of this season, is just those split practices for the developmental squad and then the 75.
What happens on game day when you get tested and for whatever reason you test positive, or a couple of your coaches test positive? Do you have a line of succession like they do in the government?
Yeah. We have basically, there's backups for everyone. Now we wouldn't, I think the hard part is one, if it grows, if one goes down, or if two or three or five, I think, so there's a plan in place for every single person. But, if it's multiple people, then we'll have to address that situation kind of as needed, because what if the backup person is also in the contact tracing? So at that point, we'll take it individually and figure out what's best. But the good news is the thing about football and a team sport like this is, if any one person isn't there, we're still able to go out and move forward and compete. And obviously we want to have everybody, that's the goal. But that's, if one of our coaches, myself or whoever, we're going to keep moving forward. you know, the train is on the tracks and we're going to keep moving forward. And there'll be a plan to adjust if that comes up.
And what's your protocol going to be like Friday and Saturday morning? Because you've got the late night game, 7:30 on Saturday night. Normally on Friday, you have a good workout, or you go to the hotel, you have a meal, you have some team meetings, you wake up, you have more meetings. How are you going to run through that?
Yeah. So basically the hotel is players only, food to go, and they go to sleep. That's what the hotel is for in this season. So we will do our practice and any meetings here on Friday. And then they'll go to the hotel, get some food, go to sleep, rest. We'll, you know, get up. We'll actually kind of bring them over here to the stadium on Saturday because it's a late game, and just to get them up on their feet and walk around a little bit on the field, do a quick meeting. And then they'll get them back to the hotel to rest up until they get on the bus for the game. And obviously in there, they'll have testing. They'll have some testing on the day of the game, and the Pac-12's got a protocol for that. So yeah, it is different because we won't be there. The coaches will have zero really interaction at the hotel. So we'll do things here and get our work in before they get to the stadium.
Will the team then convene in the locker room before the game? Or do you have multiple win one for the Gipper speeches ready to go to different components?
We have kind of multiple locker rooms set up because of the capacity. You can't have everybody in just one locker room. So we got some multiple spots set up for them to get dressed and then come upstairs, and we'll get together in the tunnel and talk as a team, take the field, and really the locker room's a place for them to get dressed. And we're utilizing team room, weight room to spread everybody out. Mm-hmm.
Easier to do at home than on the road, I suppose, because there's some places where you have to share the same entry into the stadium as well. So at least in this case, you can control the environment, no question about it. When you look at the prognosticators coming into the season, your team is getting a lot of recognition. There have been a number of people that say you are favored to win the North Division. So the mindset is a little different on the outside. The expectation is a little different on the outside. And so for the first time in quite some time on the outside again, there's a perception that Cal is on the verge, if not already having arrived. What are your thoughts? How do you talk to the team about the difference in perception that your program now has?
I think you kind of take it for what it is, because they hear it. They hear everything. I mean, it's impossible not to hear it with these things, you know, the cell phones that they're constantly on. So we don't act like they don't hear anything. But the thing about our team that I've noticed over the past few years is, you know, I think they also understand what all this means, which isn't much. You know, we're into the postseason recognition, not the preseason recognition. And our guys are really mature, I think. And the way they've approached the offseason, going back to January, if you would have went in the weight room and watched the guys working out, you would have thought, you know, they had something to prove to everybody and their brother, the way they were approaching that offseason, which is, that's what you want. And our expectations haven't ever changed. They've always been really high for ourselves, and we have our own standards. You appreciate people saying a nice thing about you, but, you know, we talk about it all the time. You can't take counsel when they say good things and not when they say bad. You don't get to pick and choose. So we just kind of do our thing and, you know, say, hey, thanks a lot, and then move on when somebody says something good. And then if it's after the season, postseason recognition, all right, then maybe we'll, you know, let them pat each other on the back for a couple minutes and then move on to the next thing.
Well, one of the recognitions that everybody would like to have who's been a member of a team is being named a team captain. You announced your four team captains earlier in the week. Are you of the ilk that says you have X amount of guys that are team captains for the season? Or do you like to have, you know, additional game day captains as well? And talk a little bit about the four guys that received that honor.
Yep, we had a team vote. And we do it late in the process because really we want everybody to have a really clear picture of who their teammates are as best they can before you start the season. And the first thing that jumped out was the number of guys that had a significant number of votes by their teammates. I mean, upwards of really 15 guys that had significant number of votes. So what that tells us is there's a lot of guys doing some really good things in leadership roles on how they're approaching practice and meetings and academics and life off the field, which is a great thing. The more people we get doing that, the better it is for our program. And then the four guys who were top vote getters, you know, and Mike Seffel, Chase Garbers, Coyne Dang, and Cam Bynum are, you know, nobody's going to dispute, you know, those guys and how they've done things in their time here and how they do things currently. And just, they're such good representatives for us and four different stories really, but we'll have the ability to add game tap captains, but these will be our captains for the season. And we're, you know, big believers in those guys. But as I mentioned before, the number of guys, and I could go down the list, that had significant number of votes was impressive. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, no question about it. And then just looking at your depth chart, I mean, you look at the offensive side, you got a lot of experience, a lot of guys back, a lot of guys that have played, a quarterback that has played. The other side of the ball, you've got some veteran guys in the secondary. You've got two veteran guys at linebacker in Dang and Cam Good. And then your defensive line, at least on the two deep, you've got two true freshmen. And I know you got at least two other true freshmen that may see some time as well. Talk about getting those young guys in the game, getting them experience, because I know guys have raved about Ethan Saunders and what he's done at defensive end behind Ziondae Johnson, McKenzie, big load in the middle. Talk about, you know, the freshmen and having to throw those guys into the fire against a very big, huge offensive front five.
Yep. Those guys are going to be key for us. And we knew going into this season that the defensive line, we lost some numbers for whatever reason. Having Brett back, we know Brett's going to be a really good player. Ziondae's playing really, really well. But there's some inexperience in there. So Aaron's played some, but Stanley McKenzie, as you mentioned, and Ethan Saunders they'll get reps. And, you know, really across the board, offense and defense, we're going to play quite a few guys. And there's reasons for that. And I think it's also going to be necessary for us to play our best football, that guys are prepared and we're spreading those reps out. So both sides of the ball are going to see that. And certainly at that defensive line spot, it's hard to play an entire game with just, you know, three defensive linemen. So both Ethan and Stanley have done a really nice job. Andrew Browning's done a great job developing those guys in a really short time frame here. So I'm excited for them, and they're going to continue to get better with the more reps that they get.
Well, everybody on your roster, whether it's a walk-on or it's a scholarship player, except for one, has actually played in a football game. You have one exception to that, and that's going to be your punter, okay? A guy who has an interesting story, but talk about Jameson Sheehan, because he is making not only his college football debut, he's making his American football debut.
Yep. And, I see how that could make, you know, maybe a coach or somebody a little nervous, but when you watch him at practice, it looks like he's been doing it his entire life. And to some degree he has. He's an older guy, so he's got a really, you know, kind of high level of maturity. He's very, very talented. I mean, that was apparent from day one. And the one thing that people don't really talk about with punters a lot, but coaches always stress out about, is the ability to catch it, you know. And we have a really good snapper in Slater Zellers, but Jameson, like, he's a natural catcher and kicker and punter. I mean, he's been doing it his whole life. You know, for him, he talks about it like he's passing the ball. You know, that's how he passes it. He passes it with his feet. That's how they do it in Australian rules football. And he's got a different assortment of punts and kicks that he uses, but I anticipate him doing really well. I mean, I have no concern. I mean, it'll be the first time for him, but I don't really feel that level of concern, you know, that he hasn't played. That doesn't even enter in my mind. I mean, maybe I should, but I just don't because I got a chance to watch him.
Yeah, we watched him in a practice, and he definitely has the leg. And you mentioned he can catch the ball, so two good combinations there. And then the final thing, and we'll talk more about this in the pregame show, but, I mean, there's going to be nobody in the stands, right? There'll be some cutouts, but they don't generally make noise unless they fall over. And I don't want to see a quarterback, you know, saying crowd noise down with the arms extended, or a defensive player like raising his arm, like we need more crowd noise. That'll be adjusted electronically, is my understanding from the press box. There would be a PA announcer, maybe the cannon, but you got to create your own energy. And it's like a scrimmage in some regards. So how do you create that energy?
Well, that's a great point and something that we've talked about and we're going to talk about again, but it really lends itself to people who love playing football. You know, it really does. And guys that love playing for the sake of playing the game are going to do well in that environment. And I think we got a lot of those guys that, everybody, you know, you come to college and big time football and you really appreciate the game days and being here at Memorial Stadium and people up on Tightwad Hill and the cannon and all those things that come with it, the crowd noise. But, you know, I kind of go back to guys that love to play. Well, they're going to play in that environment, and they're also going to play when there's a pickup game and nobody's watching. And so we got a lot of those guys, and it will feel a little bit different. There'll be a, you know, a different color jersey on the other sideline with nobody in the stands, but our guys are competitors and they love playing the game. So they'll be ready to go.
I'm sure they will. And we'll talk more about that in the pregame show beginning at 6:30 on Saturday. Coach, appreciate your time. And have a good rest of the week in practice. And we'll talk to you before the game.
Awesome. Thanks, Todd. Go Bears.
Joining us now on the podcast is a sixth-year senior, Ziondé Johnson, the young man from Fresno, California, Central High School. Wears number 44 these days in college. Used to wear number 45 in high school. But ready for the big game this week to open the season finally, right? Finally against the Washington Huskies. How excited are you to play this one?
Oh, man, I've been waiting to put on a showcase for quite a while. We've been fine-tuning in camp. We've been going against each other good on good, back and forth for weeks now. It's going to be finally time to get against a good opponent and showcase what we've been working on.
Well, the Huskies, you've been able to beat the back-to-back years. Defensive games in both contests 2 years ago at Memorial Stadium. It was Evan Weaver's big interception for a touchdown that sparked the victory. And then last year, a bizarre game, to say the least. Started the game and like two series in, lightning, thunder, rain. You guys had to head back into the locker room for about 2.5 hours. What do you remember from that experience?
I just remember the morale of the team. We went into the locker room. We went in with the mentality, like, it doesn't matter when we coming out. Just know we coming out with that same fire that we had when we went in. We can't let our energy die. So we sat there for quite a while. We sat there focused. We sat there for about a good 2 hours. And they told us it was time to lock back in and this is what we were telling ourselves we're built for. Rain, snow, shine, whatever it is, whatever the situation is, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., doesn't matter. Put the ball out. We're going to go play. And that's the type of energy I remember from that game.
Yeah, they had to keep the energy because the energy in the building got lost a little bit. They had 70,000, and then it was down to about 15,000 when the game ended and the Bears kicked that winning field goal, and you guys claimed the victory up there. You know, not having a non-conference game or two or three really puts a different spin on this one. I mean, you got to literally be ready to go Saturday night against a quality opponent. How has training camp gone, and how have you – try to up your game and get the young pups ready to go for this week?
Yeah, it's most definitely going to be a little bit different start to the season than usual, but I made sure to emphasize, and our coaches are emphasizing, every rep we take is a game rep because we don't have these games to get into shape or fine-tune every little detail before we get into conference. We have to treat every single practice that we have, every team rep, every individual rep, every single rep that you take has to be game rep caliber. because we're stealing these reps. Like, you can't get them back. So we need you guys to take, me included, we needed to take reps with the mentality of this is game one for me, or this is game two for me, or this is week two is game two. Like, we're locking in and making sure every rep that we take is mindful. This is a game rep, because when we get into game one, we have to be ready for conference play. Like, this isn't a pushover opponent. These are other grown men, and they've been working just like you have. And if you don't take your rep seriously, you're going to take this as a game rep, it will show.
Speaking of getting ready for this game, obviously the offseason completely different than anything that any of us have ever gone through before. You did get 4 spring practices in, and then the announcement, hey, you're done. Not only that, you're not going to be, you know, on campus necessarily for a lot of guys. And so how did you stay in shape during that off season until, you know, maybe 5-6 weeks ago?
Yeah. For the off season, it was mostly home workouts. We got some equipment. We got some equipment at home. I was piecing together weight room stuff, just trying to find anything to stay in shape, whether it was running trails, going hiking, whether it was running around the neighborhood mashed up. It was something. I had to get my cardio, I had to get my heart rate going. So I just found, I was the most creative person on earth finding ways to stay in shape.
You know, I was at practice last week, and I was noticing you running from one end of the field to the other for a drill. And I said to myself, he's running about as well as I've seen Ziyonde run for quite some time. Do you feel like you're finally back, because your stride looked good? There was no hitch in it. You look like you were in good shape. How do you feel?
I feel great. Really a testament to our strength conditioning and our treatment staff about the stride. And I've been working on things like that. As soon as we got the ability to get back, and I hit the ground running, making sure that everything was tightened up. Because this is like, these 7 games could be the final 7 games for me as a Cal Bear. So I'm trying to fine tune everything. I don't want to leave no stone unturned. So I made sure to clean up my gait, my pattern, my running, my steps, make sure that I'm not overstriding, make sure that my strides match. Doing a lot of conditioning. It was nail biting to get into shape, but I knew what I was doing it for. And I'm glad that it's starting to show. I'm getting from one end of the field to the other in the clean gait, looking good and pretty fast. I'm happy with that.
It was like your old days as a tight end, right? In high school, catching balls, yeah, and score. It was good to see. I was really happy to see that. Speaking of getting things in tune for yourself, as you look at the rest of your D-line teammates, you're definitely the gray beard of the group, okay? Because you got one redshirt junior, that's Aaron Maldonado. You got a true sophomore in Brett Johnson. J.H. Tevis has been in the program a couple of years. And then you got like 4 young pups, a couple of which are on the 2 deep this week. What have you done to try to bring that group along?
Same thing about reiterating game reps, and that these, like, the little things are going to show in the game. So I made sure, like, every time I take a rep, I come out and I check on the young guys when they take their reps. If coaches, like, going and taking care of one guy, I'll pull this guy aside, like, hey, this is probably what he's going to tell you once he gets to you. But just be mindful of this and be mindful of that, your feet, your hand placement, things like that, because I got to get them ready to ride with me. Like, you guys are going to be sidecar this year. You're going to be in a 2 deep. We're going to depend on you. At some point in the season, there's going to be a play that needs to be made, and you're going to be the guy that needs to make it. So I had to get in their head that the freshman, that term doesn't exist. Like, because of the way this season is going, that freshman title does not exist. You are a part of this team. You are just as much responsible for your job as I am. So you have to pick it up. And I think they've been responding to that pretty well, considering that they're playing a lot better than I thought they were going to do.
Well, a couple of guys in particular made the 2 deep. You look, Ethan Saunders, I believe he's the guy right behind you in the pecking order. Yep. He's been very impressive. And then Stanley McKenzie, I mean, you just notice him when he walks in the door. I mean, this guy is a big, strong young man from Hawaii who is going to be the backup at the nose position. What have you seen from those 2 guys?
Stanley's been really stout, and Ethan has been able to do some things I haven't seen a freshman do. He's as far as freshmen go, even not just throughout the term, this guy has been able to pick up the playbook and be a heady player, you know, watching, picking up tendency. Hey, look, pin 10 or first and 10 or something like that. Like, hey, little nuances, little things he's been able to pick up that even I as a freshman probably didn't have the ability to retain. And he's been able to match his athleticism with his mind. And that's something that's been pretty impressive to me. And it shows why he's in the 2D.
Washington always traditionally has big physical offensive lines. They like to run the ball downhill. Looks like their new coordinator, who's come from the NFL, was also Penn State and Vanderbilt, like kind of the pro style approach. We don't know that for sure. We certainly don't know who the starting quarterback is going to be. They haven't announced that as we're taping this podcast. But the Cal defense has been multiple over the years. And now the Cal offense has got more of what we call the West Coast. So do you think you have maybe a little bit better hone on what Washington might do based on what their coordinator has been through and then what Bill Musgrave has installed as far as the Cal offense is concerned?
Yeah. If we're going off the traditional look, I think that our offense has been doing a good job of giving us several looks, but those guys are no pushovers on that end either. Like, I've going up against Jake and going up against Valentino and going up against Cendric and everybody on that offensive side of the ball, I think they're going to surprise a lot of people. Like, they're rolling, and playing against them gives me the confidence to go out and play against anybody. Because if I can have a good day or make a play here, I know that it's hard earned and that it's going to be something that I'm glad I did, because going against other opponents, I think they're going to show me the same, if not less, than what my offense is showing me.
Yeah, much of the night you might be going up against Jackson Kirkland, a big offensive tackle for the Huskies, but they had a great tackle there last year with Adams. So it'll be fun to watch that matchup. It's team on team, defense versus offense, but that'll be one of the key matchups, I think, in the game. All right, let's get away from football a little bit right now. Well, one more thing on football. Have you watched any of Boston College this year?
Of course.
Okay. And the reason we say that is because Luke Beckett, one of your close friends, D-line teammate, you guys came in together 6 years ago. Went in the transfer portal and is now starting for Boston College. I watched a good bit of him this last week as they came really close to knocking off Clemson. Well, what have you seen, and have you been able to talk to Luke?
Yeah, me and Luke, we're still brothers. We stay in contact pretty much every day. Watching him has been – the times I can catch him, because sometimes we're practicing.
Right.
But watching him has been like the highlight of my weekends most weekends. I get to sit on the couch and watch one of my best friends do his thing, and seeing him compete and really, like, give Clemson a run for their money was something that I was just on the edge of my seat. Like, it was a goal line play where Luke did his thing, and they got a turnover, and they ended up scoring off that play. And I was probably the most hyped person on earth when I seen that. Like, it feels good to see my friend succeed.
Yeah, for sure. We miss him. But we wish him all the best with Boston College. And he's having a really good year. I mean, I noticed Clemson was double-teaming him too, so that was a sign of respect as well for Luke.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, you took up the electric guitar, if I remember reading. Are you still playing?
Yeah, it's been a little bit off because of fall camp, but sometimes I get together with Braxton Crotto when the time permitted itself. To practice on my hand placement, and learning new chords and new things and little nuances that he does to help it go smoothly. Because I get like my fingers freeze and I got the strum right, but my fingers are out of place. And really one of the things I had to learn how to do was to tune my own guitar. So I have to have somebody do it for me every time.
Yeah.
But now I finally got it figured out. I can practice when I have the availability to do so.
So you're not quite at
this fun hobby.
Yeah, you're not quite at the Joe Bonamassu or the Van Halen level yet, but I don't know that anybody is. So keep working at it. That's for sure. And then you've got a double major. You know, being in school for 6 years now, you had legal studies. Now you're involved with American studies. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, most of these past year and a half has been strictly American studies for most of the part. I'm done with legal studies. And I've been looking into American studies. I just started my thesis on Black Wall Street and looking at the wealth that was generated there and all the history of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and how that has affected today, and the absence of it, also the effects that have, you know, the repercussions of not having Black Wall Street prosper further down the line, and just other ramifications, and then also including the Tulsa Race Massacre, a lot of information about that. So it's a bit hard to read, but it's worth the read, you know?
Yeah. Well, you're an example of a lot of the student athletes on campus that have other interests, that are interested in reading, learning, conversations amongst each other. I mean, that's a big part of what happens at Cal, and it's part of the culture, not just of the football team, but of the entire campus community as well. And so I know a lot of guys, in fact, I think it was Jake Curran and Val Del Toso, really active this past summer in trying to get other students from other campuses around the Pac-12 conference to get involved. The We Are United campaign. I know once you're in the football season, it's tough to kind of keep that going at the same pace and momentum, but you guys are making a big difference.
Yeah, I'm proud of those guys for what they've been able to do, how they mobilized, and how they went about it. These guys are battling for the players, and anything that is positive for our players, we're going to support. We're going to be 10 toes behind. So watching those guys take charge and actually do something that spanned across the entire like landscape of college football was amazing to watch. And I couldn't be more supportive of those guys.
All right, you got 14 starts in your career. You've played 37 games in your career. How many times have you rewatched the Red Box Bowl because you were the defensive MVP?
I haven't sat down to rewatch that game.
Really?
I think my dad's seen it more than, yeah. I mean, it gets brought up a lot. I think my dad has seen it more than I have. Once I was done with that game, it was kind of like a, okay, snap, clear moment, like, on to the next. So I was grateful to have been the MVP of that game. And I think that was a good milestone for me. But now I'm like, okay, snap, clear, what's next? Can I do it again? That's what I'm asking myself, is like, can I make another film for people to watch? Like, can I do it again? Let's put on a show.
So is the trophy at home in your bedroom, or is it in the family room? Where's it at?
It's at home in my mom's house. My parents, yeah, I don't even have it.
Well, good for them. They've got something. And your dad, a longtime coach for you, so I'm sure he took a special pride. The one of the down things is folks won't be there, you know, on Saturday. And so how do they plan? Are they going to have they can't even have a lot of people over to the house anymore with all the restrictions. So it's going to probably be tough for a lot of guys not having, you know, friends and family in the stands, huh?
Yeah. As for that, like, we got to be self-motivated. The fire got to come from within. Like, you can't rely on, as much as we love to have, you can't rely on the crowd. Like, there is no home in a way. This is just football. Like, this is literally roll the ball out. We're going to play man on man, mano y mano. Like, this is how it's going to go. And I think Cal got a taste of that when we played Washington last time. There was no crowd. It was just us and y'all. That's it.
Yep, exactly right. There will be some pumped in crowd noise, but you've kind of experienced that in practice, and it can only go to a certain decibel anyway. I think they're working on getting the cannon to work. It might even be inside the stadium. It won't be up on Tightwad Hill, and there will be a PA announcer, which would be kind of strange as well. So there'll be some semblances, but it won't be the typical, you know, Memorial Stadium crowd and the enthusiasm. But I know you'll be pumped up, but the team will be pumped up. Stay healthy, my friend, and good luck in the game this week and the rest of the season.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You betcha. Zionde Johnson, starting defensive end for the California Bears as they face the Washington Huskies on Saturday night. We'll be on the air with a pregame show beginning at 6:30 as the Bears take on the Washington Huskies, trying to make it three straight over the Dogs. So for Coach Wilcox and Zionde Johnson, I'm Todd McKim. Thanks for listening this week. And as always, go Bears.
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.